Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Thundercross Split Crosscast. I think. This is my buddy Kyle.
That's right. That's me, buddy. Yeah, buddy Kyle. He said good morning, but it could be the evening. It could be midnight. It could
be always morning here.
It could be lunchtime.
It's always morning here in the Thundercross time.
Yeah, it's always morning because.
But then by the end of the episode, it's nighttime.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like how part one is, you know. After the time skip in part one, it takes place in one night, right?
Man, I love part one. I wish this could be a part one podcast. I wish we lived during the day in Japan during the 80s when like part one was first coming out.
Oh my god!
I probably shit talk it.
What is this?
What is this shitty
this Fist of the North Star ripoff?
Yeah, I'm like a radio jock show. Like that's a podcast back in the day.
Oh, what is it?
Radio show, like a shock jockey kind of guy, but for manga.
That's
what the
cool.
hell is it? Yeah, like you said, with this Fist of the North Star clone. This is lame. I hate it. Why does he always get fucking
JoJo
beat up at the end of every chapter?
And you know, it was controversial to have a not Japanese protagonist back in the day.
Oh well, I pictured myself being a white man living there, so be like, yep, this is one star for having a white man protagonist.
Oh my gosh, you just like comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, I just lived there. During what a great time to be living in the 80s in America or Japan.
At least. Economic booms.
Yeah,
a lot of partying.
Yeah, but One Piece wasn't around yet, though, so maybe not.
But there's Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Also,
because
we
fan.
Mentioned Dragon Ball, rest in peace to Akira Toriyama.
Oh yeah, I'm not a fan of One Piece, but I respect his work and what he did for the manga.
You're not
industry.
A fan of One Piece?
Did I say One Piece? I meant Dragon Ball. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I had too much caffeine today. Come on.
Yeah, it's all good.
Something coming down.
Right, I feel that.
But what was I saying? Oh yeah, Akira Toriyama. This is for you. We were at the mall earlier, and we were at the what's that store?
Box Lunch.
Yeah, the Box Lunch, right? And there's a whole. It's like another Hot Topic store, except not for goths. It's like
it's more for
millennial
anime,
goths.
Millennial soft weeaboos.
Yeah, it's like. But anyway, there's a whole section for Dragon Ball merch, and we we prayed.
Yeah,
took a moment to pray in that busy store.
We did next to the Majin Buu chocolate bars.
Yeah, I was tempted to buy a Majin Buu chocolate bar just to have that royalties go back to his family.
Well, you know, I don't.
If he gets,
I don't
it
think they're gonna be hurting.
Yeah,
but fine. You know that would still be nice. You know,
Super's still going on, right?
I think they actually just announced that the manga's gonna be on indefinite hiatus.
Oh
yeah, but
last guy who said that got canceled.
Miura,
what's his name? Guy who
Togashi.
I forgot his name. I'm sorry. He's like one of my favorite mangas. The guy who made a Vagabond.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy, is he sick or did he just not feel like making it anymore?
No, he's just doing research, is what he's saying. And he worked on because he did the Slam Dunk movie, and then I haven't been keeping up with that guy. Last time I heard, he's just doing historical research for
Interesting.
His manga, and also working on the Slam Dunk movie as well.
Did you watch that movie?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
It's not a good movie, but I think anyone who doesn't know Slam Dunk could watch that movie and be like, "This is awesome." But
okay.
The guy who actually read it is like, "Man, you're missing a lot of good parts in it. There's a lot of good parts that isn't in there or isn't like." A big, it didn't focus on it too much.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
But if you're a person who never watched Slam Dunk, you could be like, ooh, fun time.
Slam Dunk, Eric, is something that I've always had in the back of my mind ever since you showed it to Misa and I.
It changed my life.
It's entertaining. And it's like, I know the big joke, hey, it's Kuwabara playing basketball. But
yeah,
it's fun.
It is that, though. It's that, and there's layers to it.
I really like I like his rival that's on his team that, he
Urukawa.
Won't pass him the ball or something like that.
Yeah, he's like the Sasuke of the group, and I don't, and you know, it's,
but he's cooler than Sasuke.
Yeah, there might, yeah, there's some kind of negative con, like negative attachment to that mm-hmm. word, calling someone the Sasuke of the group, because Sasuke is a little bitch.
teach their own, but Hiei, it was the first Sasuke.
Oh my god, I hate him too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. We'll get to this JoJo chapter eventually. We have some other stuff to talk about.
Kakyoin was a good Sasuke, I think. Does he count? No, he's not.
No, gloomy. He Kakyoin was not like that.
Urukawa is gloomy, and yeah, his whole thing is that he's really good at basketball.
Nice.
And it annoys the teammates because they don't pass the ball to him. Well, yeah, he doesn't pass the ball to him, to anybody. But they're like, damn, he's so good at basketball. We can't. He's like,
you got to play by his rules.
Yeah, and like when he does get the ball, he kind of just shows off. Well, he doesn't intentionally show off. He's just that good.
But I bet that there is a very special moment of character development where he's like in a tough position and he eventually tosses the ball.
Can I spoil something for you a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
That's the very last thing that happens in that anime or manga.
Really?
Well, he's basketball related. Is that there's like two seconds on the clock, and he's like about to throw, like Rukawa's about to hit the ball, and there's like three guys on him, like just blocking his view, but he still has that slim like opening where all these hands are out. But he at the last second, like when the timer went to 1 second, he looked to his left, and there's our main guy, Kuwabara. I mean, Hanamichi, that's his name.
Hanamichi, okay.
He's just holding his hand out, and like nobody's like blocking because that guy's like injured by this point. No one really pays attention to him right
now.
Yeah, because at the point in the game, he's like out of it, but he still has his hand out, and Rukawa just swiftly passes him the ball, and he throws it in the timer runs out, but it's midair, so it still counts. And it fucking wins in, and they win. It's really good.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, and when you're reading it too, it's like the panel, like especially like time slows down. It really, each panel really like counts, and it's fun to read.
That's the cool thing about action manga, right? So usually action manga, you think of like fights, like fight choreography.
Yeah,
but
this is a basketball.
This
game.
Is a basketball
so
game.
Every character is like.
Moving.
Like moving.
There's a lot of kinetic energy being thrown around everywhere.
Yeah, and the timer is still going down. You still see the time on the billboard.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, it's a different type of shonen experience.
Don't let Araki write a sports manga. He's going to...
Didn't he do something
12 like, days until the Rakakaka harvest. 11 minutes. Just kidding. He said that at the end of every chapter for like 5 chapters and then just stopped counting.
He didn't care.
He was like, maybe I should have done it.
Is that the end of part 8? That was in the part 8, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was getting towards the end of part 8.
I'm going to go back to that theory. I genuinely felt like mangaka... Like, after Miura passed away, tragic, I think mangaka's kind of, like, reshaped on how they were writing, kind of, like, picking up their pace.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Oda and Araki.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like Togashi. I think the next thing I knew, he's going back to writing manga again.
Yeah, he made a Twitter account, and, like, it fucking exploded.
That was after Miura's time, right?
I believe
so,
yeah.
Time. Yeah. But yeah. That's what I feel like. So I think part 8 got a little rocky there.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, he should have heard it up. You're right. But then it kind of like didn't work out at the end.
I still
can't get over part 8's sad ending.
I in a perfect world, I think part 8 would be ending right around now. And we'd be tying up some loose ends. Just the setup for Josuke versus Jobin was so big, and Kato
was like behind the scenes for a while. You didn't know what she was doing.
Do you remember when you first met her in prison, and she's like, "Hey, Jobin, what's going on? I'm in prison. We're talking about business." It's like she knew that he was in the Rokakaka trade.
Dude, I know. Yeah,
and then she just became a nothing burger, and then showed up at the end just to get killed. Just the same with
girl Jotaro.
Girl Taro.
Girl Taro. it's like Link.
Kyo? K Nijimura?
No, Girl Taro's now.
Girl Taro.
That's my new God damn.
Oh man.
You know what would have been cool? I thought like if the next part directly followed up part 8 and you got like K's perspective. Talk about Papua New Guinea. Mm. Why aren't we there yet?
It's the JoJo Lands.
Well, now we're going back there. Like, I know we're going going back to the Hawaii place that we're. That's what it sounds like.
They're going back to the island of Hawaii, I believe.
Lame.
Yeah, they're like, we just got back from there. You know who we're
so adventure.
We're gonna see Leo again.
Jeez, can you imagine a JoJo adventure where they had to go backwards? Jesus Christ, they didn't do that in part one or part three.
Nope. part one, they went so forward that Jonathan and Arena went to the United States and didn't make it.
You can plot out where they died.
Oh, you know something? When you fellers were over at my domicile the other day and you put on part one episodes, I just continued watching them after you guys left.
Really good, right?
Oh my God, yeah, part one. Then we just watched the last episode, which always gets me. Always. And I never caught it, but the priest... There's a priest that goes on the boat.
Yeah, Father Styx.
Father Styx.
Father Styx.
I was like, Father Styx, the most important character of part one.
No, he didn't. He literally...
He's the one who caused... Who got bit.
By, you know, it's what anybody could have gotten bit.
Yeah, but it was Father Styx.
Yeah,
The drunken Catholic.
I cannot forgive Araki for, like, not... giving a name to this priest, naming every horse in Steel Ball Run, but not giving a name to Jolene's mom? Come on. It's still non-confirmed, dude.
She had lines.
Yeah, and she had lines. And here's some horses that probably never appear. Here's some characters and racers that never appears.
Yeah, Oda, what's Luffy's mom's name?
I don't care about that. It's Dadon.
Yeah, I know it's Dadon, but anyway...
Should we talk about this chapter now?
I think we should. That was we had a lot on our minds right there. I hope the listeners don't mind.
What do they come here for? JoJo? You know,
yeah, we talked about JoJo.
Nobody likes JoJo anymore.
Look, Eric, I think I'm getting more part one and part two pilled because of you.
What does that mean?
It means, like, I think those are slowly becoming my favorite parts.
Oh, part two is so fucking good.
We need to do a part two special one of these days.
Dude, heck yeah, man. I love part two.
All right. Well, let's talk about part nine.
Oh, my Lord.
So, all right. So, we have this really interesting cover photo for
it's
the chapter.
So interesting. I saw this already blowing up on your wall because you got a poster for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what happened. No. Actually, I had a very One Piece week this past week. I'll tell you later.
Oh yeah, well, I guess we should let the fans know about that. It is a One Piece month. Happy
it's
One
almost
Piece
like
month.
I had the rock with me.
It was like
the volcano rock.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far.
The lava rock.
Can we just talk about this chapter?
Yeah. Okay, so we have the lava rock, and then there's the five characters in the crew that are...
Yeah, the block of cheese. Come on, next page.
Hold on. I kind of want to talk about it. I think it's interesting that Jodio and Charming Man are the only people facing forward, and everyone else is looking in other directions. Do you think that symbolizes anything?
Oh, man, I hope so.
I think it just means that these two have a goal, and the others are just along for the ride or aimless.
They all want money. Charming Man's the only guy who cares, has a goal. The rest of them just want money.
No, Jodia wants to be the richest fucker in the planet.
It's money!
Yeah, but they don't want money like he wants money. You know what I mean? It's not their motive for life, you know what I mean?
I guess.
Jodio's driven by it.
Freak.
Also, we get this little thing here. The spinoff novel starring Lisa.
What?
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, The Infinite King. Going on sale at the same time as Volume 3 of JoJo Lands.
Why? Has Reddit been talking about this?
A little bit.
Man, I remember when I just knew everything JoJo was coming out. And then
we have another light novel about Lisa doing some stuff in like right before Stardust Crusaders.
Man, then part 5 came out and everyone started watching it.
Dude, part 5 did kind of make JoJo explode in popularity over
here.
It's
now mainstream. Man, there was a time when reading JoJo and watching it was like so underground. It felt good.
Oh man, I joined before part 5 had an anime.
Yeah.
I joined when part four was out.
Yeah, I think I was there too, mm-hmm. right? During like the later half of its run, that's when I got into it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, part four. Four.
Okay.
Oh, man. So underground, people are like, what? You actually watched JoJo? And everyone's singing the songs.
I remember being like a kid and seeing like the part three JoJo volumes on the shelves at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that? That's weird. No, where's One Piece? Where's One Piece? Where's Death Note?
Yeah.
That's what I would gravitate towards.
But yeah, part five really took off. That theme song was like everywhere.
Yeah, it turned into a meme.
Is, you know, and one and part of me, you know, it's a good thing, you know, because JoJo is good. More mm-hmm. people are into it, you know, more for Araki. Mm-hmm. Araki needs to be
supported.
Yeah. Now everybody and their mother watches it. That makes it lame.
Just wait until Steel Ball Run comes out.
It's going to make people not watch JoJo.
Oh my gosh. Cowboy's gay.
What is going on? Why is it bad CGI?
I think JoJo looks good in CGI. Like the openings look good.
They just better not move like dolls.
All I want is it for to have a higher frame rate than like 12 frames a second, like the first season of Ruby. That's what I'm always scared about.
Man, Ruby was like, you know, Ruby was made by like three people, right?
Yeah, but you know, the Berserk anime was made by like 40 and it still looked like shit.
Oh my God, yeah. God damn, I hate Berserk.
Ugh. We got a couple good drawings out of it, though.
I just, every time I think about that show, I just think about Casca being knocked over and like her falling down like a fucking rag doll.
I can't wait for the Guts turns into a potato arc and Casca saves him.
Whoa, you think that's going to happen? I haven't been reading the latest chapter. Or if there has been a chapter.
We talked about the latest chapter on this podcast like 7 months ago.
That's the latest chapter? Dude, yeah. I'm happy for this new team. They're really like taking the spirit of like Miura. They're channeling their Miura.
My God. The newest chapter is supposed to come out in the next 3 months. That's what a tweet
three
said.
3 months?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Once you come out like 7 pages and they're all beautifully drawn.
They're beautifully drawn, but there's no dialogue. You know,
except for when Guts goes, Casca.
Casca.
Because he's thinking about Casca.
No, his mind's broken. He's not talking anymore now, right?
That's right.
You remember?
He'll shake it off.
He always gets back up.
Yeah, dude, he's the struggler.
He's the struggler. No, yeah. They're going to the Kushin village now.
Yeah, they're going to fix his mind. They're going to go in his mind now. Whoa! Shrink's like, man, I already spent like 10 years inside Casca. I know it was like 3 hours for you guys, but I spent 10 years in Casca's mind. Now I'm going to do the same for Guts as one. God damn.
She tried to like astrally project into his head and she got pushed out by all the darkness.
Well, guess what? Now he's dumb now, so it's easier to go
in there. You go. Yeah, he's docile. Oh my gosh, guys.
Can we stop looking at this cheese block?
Yeah, let's go back.
That was the first page. So here we see Dragona and
4 years earlier.
4 years earlier. Looks like a femboy.
Strapping young gentleman.
Oh, like 14.
Effeminate.
Is it 14 or 15? How old
14. I think Dragona's an older brother. I think Dragona's 19.
He's 19, yeah, right?
So,
yeah.
So he's 15 here.
Poor dude.
And he's fucking ripped.
Poor dude. So it's pretty much him in there. So they moved to this new place. This is them moving to Hawaii.
And mm-hmm. Right after they moved.
And they're being mean to this kid, dude.
Yeah.
Like the popular girl and the volleyball team. They're just picking on this dude.
Yeah, just a warning. There's some crazy.
I think she's
crazy.
Jealous. Because even though Dragona's a dude, he's like hotter than than all the other girls on the team.
Yeah.
Is that why
kinda
she's mean to him? But
so
what are you looking
Dragona
at?
Picks up this volleyball and she's like, "Hey, you got to pick it up." And he like threw it at her and hit her. Like, yeah, she wasn't expecting that. And then, yeah, because I agree. She, because now she's like looking over here like, oh, I'm going to fuck with them. And
yeah, he got hit. Dragona mistakenly hit this popular girl with a volleyball, made everyone laugh. So now she plays along for a minute, but then she goes full bully mode and like slams that volleyball in his face and gets all up in him. We don't gotta go into detail about this. This is high school bullying.
Yeah, it's a little too extreme. She gets really fucking like extreme, like look at her little shit. And then there's some SAing going on.
Dragona gets SA'd on the bus by this woman, and it's like, you mentioned this before, like, Dragona, how many times have you been essayed before? Like,
yeah.
Is that the second time?
This is the second time. The first chapter starts with, you know, so I think Araki is just kind of reinforcing. I mean, what he's showing right here is how they developed their stance, right? Dragona gets on the bus and gets basically bullied more for no reason. And then
we essayed.
Look at the teacher's head.
That's what you got out of this. Yeah, he does have a great shaped head.
Yeah. Yeah, then there's just like five more pages of like Dragona getting bullied. And
but then a tear, not teardrop, just a water drop hits the bully's eye.
Yeah.
And well,
you see little Giorno.
Little shit Jodio.
Little shit Jodio wearing the same outfit.
It's like someone picked him up and like squeezed him. Like, crunched him down, put him back down.
Yeah,
that's literally what he looks like.
It does. So there's this ominous, like 3 foot tall Jodio that's behind the bully, and you see
this guy is definitely Giorno. This guy has Giorno vibes written all over it. Mm-hmm. There's no denying it.
I agree.
I do feel like this is something Giorno would do. Just creep along and stare at people, and people are like, ew, who's that creepy kid staring?
Mm-hmm.
Which is happening right now. The bully sees Jodio and is all like, why is that creepy kid just standing there? Until the teacher comes in and is all like, hey, you're that little brother with that kid over there. And
yeah.
But Jodio gets him off there.
Yeah, gets him off the bus. And you see the November rain like melt this girl's fucking eyeball.
That's not what happened. Well, okay,
it's what it looks like.
Well, it's dripping, and mm-hmm. then it's going near her eye, and then the gravity hits it, and it goes straight down her eyelid. Like,
yeah,
the weight of it just finally kicked in, and then just blah.
So that's pretty much what it is, right? It's just really fucking heavy rain that like pushes your body down with it.
Yeah, it punches you.
Yeah,
but it's like a little punch so hard that it went past her eyelid.
Can you imagine like getting like a giant like King Kong gorilla punch on you, but like in the pinpoint of like a droplet, rain droplet.
Oh my God. Yeah. It hurts.
Yeah.
It's getting hit by a bullet several times.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jesus. Well,
that fucking stand turns you into putty. Seeing how some of those panels where like people are getting fucked up by that.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think it's funny. I like seeing the cops' like eyes like rotate backwards.
Oh, it's definitely funny. If you read like old classic JoJo and those in part three,
or part two, you know, remember the cops? Joseph shoots the fucking Coca-Cola bottle cap at him.
Yeah, I was also thinking like Jotaro's like aura hits. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at those panels, it looks like a guy just got punched several indents onto them.
Yeah,
it's very entertaining.
That's a good. That's good. That's good. That's a good thing to be talking about.
Yeah,
my brain's shitting itself right now.
Jotaro ordering people. It's a good. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is a good feeling.
It's the whole reason why I even watch like part three is just get to that one moment.
just the monster of the week gets ored.
Oh my God! Yeah, dude, the rising climax and mm-hmm. then the climax.
Oh my God! Favorite part.
Part three, it gets to you. Dude. It's so simplistic in its nature that we're.
It is. It's easy to just like throw a few episodes on and just like enjoy.
Exactly, you know, or at least just watch the latter, or at least those two-parter episodes. Just watch the second part.
yeah, I like the Darby Bros.
Yeah, a lot of first half of that season feels like there's two-parters are unnecessary.
Like the first half of part three.
Yeah, there's a lot of two-parter episodes, but I think Araki learned to condense the storytelling or just make it more interesting.
I mean, the two-part episodes are different than like chapter every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Talking about an anime format, when they do part one of that episode, it's just a lot of slow build up. And then part two is like where the real of that episode is where the real meat and potatoes starts happening.
Yeah, that's like was a strength or forever. God.
Well, that was a one episode.
That was
a good one episode.
Oh my god!
Just they float in water. They find a monkey on a boat. They fight monkey.
Monkey's the stand user.
Monkey stand user. That's oh a good
my
twist.
God. Yeah, dude, what is up with Japan and like the perverted ape like stereotype?
I don't know. We had an ape stereotype too in American comics.
What was that?
It was like during like the 50s, where like every villain was like apparently a talking gorilla. And DC has a lot of gorilla villains. Well, not like I won't say like a bunch, but there's like
interesting. So you read a lot of older comics like that.
Kinda. I like to get the history of a comic book, so I probably will like read the back then. But if not, I just know a lot of facts about the before.
It's not racially charged, is it?
No, it was just like a funny thing because it was happening in sci-fi too. Where it's just like
big gorilla.
Put a guy in a gorilla costume, and then hey,
you know, it was funny in SpongeBob.
Yeah, it was exactly.
Let's not be sad.
Sci-fi was doing. I think King Kong. I think it really like pushed that movie.
That was from the 20s, right? King Kong? 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess monkeys are just funny.
Yeah. I like it. I do like the gorilla trope.
I do like gorillas.
Like, oh, it's a gorilla is the enemy.
They have to fight monkeys.
Did you know that DC universe has, there's like a whole city in Africa that's just with gorillas, super intelligent gorillas.
I love that.
Yeah, it's called Gorilla City.
Whoa!
Yeah, Flash found
one ticket to Gorilla City, please.
Yeah, Flash finds it. And it's like, I think now in modern comics, Gorilla City is like part of the UN. Because before it was like a secret city that no one should know about.
Whoa.
But now it's like anybody can go there.
Like Wakanda?
Yeah. But it's more open. There's a Jimmy Olsen comic that I read where like he's like a low-key celebrity.
Superman's
there.
Pal?
Yeah, Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen is a low-key celebrity there.
He's what like the fuck?
He does book signings there.
It's like that one country that like really liked George W. Bush and has a statue of him.
Kind of. Oh,
I don't remember
say,
what
like,
country
gonna,
that is.
I was going to say how like Japan would like take American actors and like popular American actors that are like just bring them over to Japan and they're like really popular there. You know,
like
that?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I remember I read this thing where the two actors from Walking Dead, Andrew Lincoln and Norman Reedus, mm-hmm. when they were, it was like during the height of that show.
Yeah,
they were going there for a few promotional images.
Uh-huh.
And it was like stepping out to like how the Beatles came out. And there's like this airport was just filled with fans just screaming for
them.
Oh
my gosh.
It was like unreal for them.
That's crazy.
They had no idea how Walking Dead was so popular in Japan.
Whoa, I bet it looked like the Walking Dead to them when they got off the airport.
Oh my god, they had, my trauma's coming back to me. Reedus is all like, hey man, calm down, that was a show.
Hey man, calm down, that's just a show. By the way, I gotta meet this guy, Kojima.
Kojima. Hey Andrew Lincoln, you wanna come with me to meet Kojima?
No, I think I'm alright.
Oh, forget that, alright.
That guy's British.
Yeah.
That
fucked me up.
He does a good American accent.
Oh my god, it's so good.
There's so many American accents.
It's so good that people parody, like to imitate it and parody it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Coral.
Yeah, Coral. God dang, if there's one thing I like about that Walking Dead show is that it knew how to cast its characters.
It did have a good cast. I this has nothing to do with JoJo, but we're just, you know what, guys? We're going to just do this episode the way we want to, the way it goes. We'll get to this chapter.
Oh my god, Kyle's a,
I'm feeling a little
rebellious today.
A little rebellious. I wanted to know how they beat Negan, because that's like when I stopped watching The Walking Dead, is like right after Negan did the eeny meeny miny moe.
Oh, so
all
you,
of you belong to me.
Okay, so you just know that, you just know his entrance and how he.
Yeah, and then I knew a little bit like of afterwards where the saviors like come and do stuff. So I spent like, I think I was sick with COVID. I watched all the way until that was over.
Yeah.
And then I stopped watching like three episodes into that new season. And apparently the next episode I'm supposed to watch is the one where Rick like disappears.
God damn, I hate that show. The show really gets kind of poopy afterward during that time.
That's what I heard. And now they have like hey, it's the Rick's back show.
Where'd he go? Who cares? He didn't have to leave. But then again, I guess his actor didn't want to be part of it, which is fine.
I mean, he's been doing it for like so long.
So you want to know what happens to Negan? How they defeat
that man? I wanted to know how he became an ally. Because they kept him alive, and yeah, eventually,
like it was like a message to like end the bloodshed, just keep him alive and imprison him indefinitely.
But then they started fighting those dudes with the zombie masks.
Yeah, the Whisperers.
The Whisperers.
So Negan became like the only prisoner underneath Alexandria in the basement. Grows his hair out and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good he's a model prisoner. He doesn't really start shit. He kind of likes it. He kind of likes the solitude. And, like, Rick's always is always, like, cold to him every time he sees him. Mm-hmm. But Negan's still all buddy-buddy with him. It's like, hey, Rick, you know, I'm being a good prisoner, man. You think I can, like, step out and stretch my toes? And he's all like,
you're only there because I let you be there.
He's all like, that's fine. I get three meals a day, and I don't have to worry about zombies ever. And I don't even get to be a leader anymore. Which is like, so, yeah, Negan doesn't care. There was even a point in the comic where the person who grooms him, like, gives him his haircuts and bathing,
uh-huh.
She didn't lock it all the way. It's just open. And Negan notices it because he's, like, shaking on the thing, like, nah, I want to get out of here. But then he's like, oh, shit, it's open. But he stays there. He stays there with wide open. And Rick, like, goes down there and sees it, and he's, like, fucking, like, pissed off. But, like, Rick Negan's all like, see, I'm cool. I'm cool, guy. It could be cool, but he locks it, ignores him, finds the woman who fucking like left that shit open, and just like scolded her and like in the side, like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Like, it was like a big old like meal going on, everyone's invited, uh-huh. But he's like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? He's like, everyone here would be dead if you didn't, because you. And she's like, what? He's like, these people are dead because of you. He's like, what did I do? He's like, you left that shit open. And then before she cried, he's like, you better get out of here before you start making a scene. And she like runs off crying. Andrea's like, why'd you do that?
Andrea's still alive in the comics at that point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Cool.
A lot of characters are still alive.
Just like read the rest of it.
It's so good.
You have it, right?
And how he becomes an ally? Oh, this is getting good.
Okay.
There's a faction of people who don't like Rick because like the Whisperers are attacking and they think Rick's not doing anything about it. Some of the casualties is this little kid from the Hilltop Colony. Well, he doesn't like Rick because his mom got killed by the Whisperers. And then when his dad tried to like do like a little terrorist attack onto Rick, Rick ended up killing him.
Whoa.
So this kid is a pissy against this Rick.
Whoa.
And so he sets Negan free. He's like, hey, let's get out of here. Negan's like, sure, why not? They're going to go to the Whisperers, tell them what Rick's doing, and like kind of like, you know, bring them back. But on the way there, Negan realizes like he doesn't like this kid. He's a little puss baby. He's literally a weak. And he starts doubling back like, oh, is this such a good idea, Mr. Negan? He's like, kid, shut up. Like, you're literally like being a letdown. He's all like, oh, but I'm so sad because my fucking parents are dead. He's like, hey, kid, it's going to be all right. And then he snaps his neck and then keeps going. And that's the end of that character.
Negan just does that?
Yeah.
And that's how he becomes a good guy?
No, he goes to the Whisperers and tries hanging out with them for a while, and then he realizes he doesn't like them.
Oh.
So he kills their leader.
What?
Yeah, this is the main bad guy of that arc, just kills her.
And does he just, like,
back the head. He's like, hey, Rick, can I be your team now? And he's all like, fuck. All right. He's not happy about it, but
gets to become a citizen now.
No, he becomes like a soldier. He becomes part of their militia, and he's on the front lines, and he gets no weapons, and he's all like, that's fine by me.
So he just goes out there bare knuckles.
Yeah.
He still gets three meals a day.
Yeah, and he gets like a melee weapon, but that's it.
Wow. Well, that was a beautiful story.
Oh, yeah. That's not even the end of his story, but that's how Negan becomes part of the group, I guess.
I kind of want to maybe get back into reading that.
It's really good, dude. Fuck JoJo, dude.
Oh, sorry for
our little Walking Dead tangent, guys.
Let's go back and finish this chapter. There's not really much else going on.
This essay really brought you down, huh?
Well, I was pretty uncomfortable reading it. Yeah, it literally went on for 5 or 6 fucking pages.
Yeah, but anyway, Jodeo saves him. But apparently,
Jodeo's a good little brother. And
but apparently, this leads to his fucking father, their father, losing their job because of the insurance company. Jodeo sets a bus on fire. That's what happens.
So we go to the next page, and it's so sad. They share a bunk bed. And Dragona is crying about, like, the trauma that he just went through. Jodeo, yeah, I mean, he's got the scars from, like, the shit on his chest, but also just traumatizing. Also, I like their bedroom. They have, the nice star. It's like the star in the bubble. Is that a Go Beyond reference? The soap bubble?
No, it's just a star. Maybe.
It's just a star in a bubble. Come on.
Let me have this. All right.
Go ahead. Yeah, like you said, he sets the fucking bus on fire. This kid, he's a kid, right? So yeah. He's 10 years old here.
So he sets the Dragona ended up staying back. Jodeo wants to get some revenge for these people. Mm-hmm. Locks them in their bus, sets it on fire. It was going to kill them. Looks like they're going to kill him until he saw the bird. There was a bird that was trapped in there.
Right.
And just like, that's intense. That's honestly intense. This is a very different JoJo. Honestly.
Yeah, there's somebody in a baseball outfit, uniform, just ducking and covering over here on the bus.
It's their volleyball team's jersey.
Volleyball teams do not wear pinstripe stuff like that.
Some of these people don't even look scared.
this woman right here looks like she...
What about that lady in the corner? She looks like she's just...
Her?
Yeah.
With the pigtails?
No, go down. Right there to the left.
She's just like, I gotta get it. She doesn't even look like she knows what's going on.
Okay, but yeah. Jodeo's father ends up losing their job because the insurance that the bus paid. I don't know. Insurance mumbo jumbo. Mm-hmm. He got fired from a job and then he leaves the family. And now Baba Ran Joestar is raising her kids by herself.
In Hawaii with 2 jobs.
In Hawaii with 2 jobs. Can you believe how awful that is?
That's a lot of money. Hawaii is expensive. Oh, it looks like they kind of had a nice house, too. Like, so, also, there's been this whole talk about who Jodeo's dad is, because obviously this is like a Giorno parallel.
Yeah.
So there's got to be like, where's the Brando blood, right? Where's the Dio blood?
There's no Dio blood to taint this, dude. This is a different universe.
Yeah, but...
He's not.
If he's supposed to be Joe Dio, I mean, that's so on the nose. Like, you would imagine it's kind of the same thing that there's.
I don't like
some
the
Dio
idea.
Blood somewhere
I don't like the
in that
idea
family.
That Diego is tainting this Joestar blood. This is pure Joestar blood right now. Okay,
Diego, you're right, because Diego isn't like the original world Dio, who's like fucking nefarious and.
Yeah, unless fucking Araki does some bullshit, which I highly doubt. I don't think Araki's that type of writer to pull some shit like that. Or at least like here's this character from another dimension.
Another dimension. Another dimension.
Another dimension.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, yeah. We get this moment where Dragona is like, I know what you did, Jodeo.
I know what you did, Jodeo.
That was fucked up.
That was fucked up.
But I got to sleep last night, so thank you.
Aw.
And then you see Dragona swear to be stronger, and then you see them use smooth operators to heal.
Yeah, transport the cuts onto a spoon, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I guess that's our healer of the group.
Mm-hmm. That's the healer, right? So you see throughout this whole experience, Dragona's need to heal and change is like what manifests in their stand, right?
Yeah, and Jodeo's need to punch the shit out of people into the ground.
Jodeo's need to protect. What does an umbrella do?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right? It's like a reverse umbrella. It's kind of weird. So it's taking that like concept and kind of turning it upside down a little bit.
All right, like you are getting somewhere. I'll give you that. I didn't. Okay, maybe I didn't get that parallel yet.
I just thought of it. Literally, just thought of it.
That's a good connection.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I am Mr. Theory over here.
Oh, yeah. You are the theory guy on this channel.
Yeah, it's just a JoJo theory. But yeah, so
we get this nice little flashback of Jodeo and Dragona bonding more as siblings, getting their stand.
Yeah,
we then get cut back to modern times where the charming man is meeting up with their boss.
Hold on, I don't want to skip over this dialogue here.
What?
Because this is where so we didn't say the name of the chapter. The chapter is called something crazy like the absurd event that happened to me all those years ago or something like that. Right? And so this is Dragona narrating. Back then I was 14 years old. The event that happened to me that year was irrational and perhaps absurd. It wasn't good nor evil. And what's more, I don't think it had any relationship with the environment I was born in or any other sort of reason. Okay, well, first of all, I think what happened to you was pretty evil.
Oh, yeah.
But it's...
Is she talking about their dad losing their job or something like that?
The whole thing, right? Like, that one event stemmed from... Where everything from that one event became something bigger and changed their lives.
Yeah, well, Jodeo didn't have to fucking set the thing on fire.
Jodeo has antisocial personality disorder.
He didn't do that. Maybe his dad wouldn't have left him.
Jerk. I mean...
He was fine protecting Dragona that first time, but I think that bus fire was a little too much. Especially how some of those people there didn't like
him. Exactly. Of course. I mean, of course we're rational and able to say that's too much.
But he's like, what, 9 years old?
9 or 10, yeah. And he's like...
Superman movie where... Well, not Superman. It's that Superman clone movie, a little kid who gets Superman powers.
Oh, Brightburn?
Is that his name?
I think so.
I didn't watch it, but it was like...
Me neither.
Is that Jodeo right now getting a stand?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all Jodeo cares about is punishing the people who did wrong by his bro.
Jeez, calm down there.
Right? Buddy. So we have this new concept, this new philosophy, the absurd. All right?
It's Araki completely said, different from the mechanism.
Right, yes. Friendship ended with mechanism. The absurd is now my best friend.
Wasn't there another word in between this that they focused on?
I don't fucking know.
But then again, absurdity is the opposite of mechanisms, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something that's put together, while absurdity is just
right.
Nothingness. Look how... I hate that picture. I hate that panel of Jodeo, by the way. I thought he was sitting. No, that's just him all crunched up standing there.
Like, we're on page 26 where... Their mom sits them down and...
Doesn't even look like him sick.
He just looks like mini Jodeo. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's shrunken down. It's like someone took a shrink ray.
I think, well, you know, like, I don't know if he's like autistic or something, but something with like autistic people is that they find comfort in sameness, like predictability.
Is that why he has the same haircut when he was a little kid?
I think it's why he has the same haircut, same outfit.
Dang.
I think, and that's like obvious. Dragona has had like 6 different outfits this chapter already, right?
Are you telling me that he wore that same jacket Joe on there the whole time? That's freaking funny.
Yeah,
I did not notice that.
That Joe, yeah, it was right there. And then you have Dragona here, obviously presenting way more like feminine.
That one moment,
I think he's starting to feel a little bit more comfortable like that.
Well, you think that absurd moment was part of that transition?
Yeah. It was a catalyst for a lot of things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
They call it the bus incident.
The bus incident. That's right.
That's what they call in the Joestar household.
They call things. Araki loves calling things the incident, blank, 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 the incident.
Like what? The walleye incident?
Or the Radio Gaga incident.
Oh, yeah. I know where I was during the Radio Gaga incident.
Where were you when they built the Tower to Heaven?
They did that?
Well, in South Park, they did. But yeah, what you said before, all about the insurance company being the one that the father works for, but then the father had to take blame and pay for it himself. It makes no sense to me, but okay, Araki, you do what you have to do to get the father out of the picture.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Yeah, it's their fault. No problem.
Can we get to the current times now?
Yeah, we're starting to get there. There's just real quick, finishing this part up, they're like, okay, this is setting up why these kids, why Dragunna and Jodeo are gangsters and like drug mules, right?
Oh, I hated this. I hate this Marilyn character, Meryl May.
Meryl May?
Yeah, she's just like, comes, she, so they're in a bad neighborhood just walking these two kids now, and all of a sudden, Meryl comes in and be all like, oh, hello, I think you guys can make money, come in my car. And
well, you see these bad guys, they're starting to approach him, right? These ne'er-do-wells.
Ne'er-do-wells?
Ne'er-do-wells.
Not doing
right?
Well.
Right? And there's so an absurd event, you know, whatever. And oh, stop. So here's the principal, like...
Principal slash jewelry store owner slash...
Look at Jodeo's face, dude.
He's so sad.
He is...
He's about to fuck people up.
He looks a little determined, a little too determined.
I don't like this character.
You're the Joestar siblings, right? Do you want to come into my car and I will tell you how you can make a lot of money because I can exploit your situation.
What the hell?
And also, you need money, so it works out. And then we finally get back...
To the cheese block.
To the cheese block.
That's what I'm calling
this
it.
Beautiful highway picture right here.
That's what I'm
here.
Calling the lava rock, by the way. This fucking piece of cheese. That's what it looks like to
it
me.
It is a piece
and
of
I
cheese.
I hate it.
Okay. Yeah. And now we're back exactly where we left off last chapter. She's like, yeah, you're charming, man, huh?
So they're pretty right. This whole scene pretty much just gives like a recap of what Charming Man's doing here, telling it to their boss, Meryl. So... She can get caught up with him. And it's like just three pages of us just telling us what already happened the past two chapters with Charming Man. Because we already got his flashback. But now we got to see it in word form so that Meryl can fucking like understand.
I mean, they were going to talk either way. I mean, he already... Araki, I think, already, like last chapter, skipped how the fight was going to end and just went straight to them like talking.
Yeah, but he's literally... going over what we already read before. Like,
yeah,
Rohan
is...
dropped money down. He found the rock. Oh, by the way, my brother is missing. He gave a little bit more context, but like, I didn't think we needed all this extra stuff because he mentioned, like, this is a place that I can barely go in, I can step into pretty much.
Right.
So I think that detail we needed to know.
I think this chapter was mainly about showing Jodeo and Dragunna's past and then
a quick
reiterating.
Little...
I think this panel is really funny. They're like, yeah, one of the we had two lava rocks, but one of them got destroyed, and they're
is
all
that
like,
what happened?
Yeah, Jodeo, like when he was at Rohan, he was like, don't fuck with me, Rohan. He like crushed the other lava rock. And we're like, God, don't do it, no.
That's fine. We only need one.
I have a feeling, you know what? I thought we were never going to see Rohan again, but he has like come back. Like in like these flashbacks, so
I hate it, dude.
I think he's gonna be back.
He better be related to the Speedwagon.
It's gonna be Rohan and then Josuke and Yasuo from Part 8 are gonna show
Holy
up.
Oh my god! And then Giorno's there.
And then Giorno's there because Golden Experience Requiem allows him to leg.
That is.
My leg is asleep. I've got pins and needles on that. How about that?
You want to punch it? Maybe we get the
no,
circulation
it's gonna
back.
No, it's going to be worse.
I'm just getting the circulation no. back.
Here, how about we circulate the last few pages of this chapter
what?
Here?
Nothing happens.
Oh, my gosh. So basically, Meryl May is like, y'all are going back to the island.
Yeah, you're going back to the island. I'm going to give you like this deal, that this thing that we're going to do is probably worth $50 billion. You guys get a percentage.
They're going to go try and collect more lava rocks. And she's like, yeah, I know the proprietors of that place. Like, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. Look at her. You think they're going to fight her at some point?
No.
It'll be a system for flow of money.
Oh, yes, the mechanism.
That's right, the system, a mechanism. Absurdity. It's like all these different, like, ways of flowing. Right, with the flow of calamity, the way that nature works.
And feng shui.
Feng shui, just like Dragon's Dream.
I hate that fight.
It was better in the anime. It was easier to follow.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah. Yep. Man, so
they got the cheese block.
They're gonna get 4% of $50 billion each. The new prey is rights.
Well, that's it.
You know the concept of rights? We'll bring this lava rock close to those rights. Okay, Araki. Whatever.
You're just filling up
this bubbles. Man just opened up some dictionaries and just said, absurd.
Mechanism.
Rights.
Calamity.
Bubble.
I'm
rotation.
I'm done with this chapter now.
Yeah, I feel that. What was your honest opinion on that chapter?
It was all right.
It was all right.
It was all right. I like a little background on the Joestar siblings. Mm-hmm. See what you're going to look like before her little transition there. Or
later. She looked like Giorno before his hair turned yellow.
You think so?
Yeah. I think, like, these two characters are two halves of Giorno, I think is maybe something that Araki is trying to say. Because...
Nah. I'd rather go. Because
Jotaro was half Yoshikage Kira and half Kei Nijimura. So Jotaro's character was split into two.
Who are the two characters?
Kei Nijimura.
And?
Yoshikage Kira.
No, I don't think that.
Yoshikage Kira Joestar.
Nah, I don't think that.
No, that's... His personality was split between those two characters. That's his place.
I don't think
because they're twins. They're both
who?
Kira and Kei.
No, Kei is younger.
Well, they're brother and sister. I thought they were twins.
No, they were younger.
But they're both what is her name? Holly. So they're both Holly's children.
I don't see Jotaro and Kira. Maybe I should read it again.
I think he should. He kind of has his, like, asshole attitude.
He has Kira's asshole attitude. He's like Kira if he was an extrovert.
Maybe we should revisit it.
Kira holds his judgmentalness inside. Well, but then in part 8, he's, like, getting all over the surfer dude and telling him how much his life is dumb.
Motherfucker can't choose. Sea or land or sea, motherfucker.
How is being a surfer a job?
It's not.
So yeah, that's how I
see it. Being a fisherman is a job, and it's respected, unlike you.
That's how I feel about Kira in part 8. He's like the extrovert version of himself.
Well, why don't we ask our one commenter? I believe it's Blueberry. Blueberry Elf.
Yum.
Delicious. Let's ask our audience. Tell us what you think. Is Jotaro split up between those two characters?
No, dude, just say I'm right. I'm getting tired of this. Who's right, me or Kyle? It's me.
It's me.
Okay. Well.
All right. I don't think I have anything else I want to say about this. We pretty much did our episode backwards. Where he talked about other shit first instead of then JoJo.
God, I like that.
I think it was kind of nice to lean in like that. But yeah, guys, this is, I think if you're good to go, I'm good to go. Good. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Thundercross Splitcast. Please look out for more episodes in the future. I think we might start branching off into just more manga talk because it's just fun. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see. You know, we'll kind of feel it out. Also, if you like American comics, please go check out our big brother podcast, The Book Club from Planet Zero, where Eric...
That's me.
And Christian...
He's not here.
Talk about American comics and other fun stuff like Helldivers... And Mortal Kombat.
But mostly just comics.
It's mostly comics. Yeah. And if you like the episode, you know, do your thing. Click those things that YouTubers tell you to click. And
click all the buttons.
You know, share it with your grandmother.
Yeah. But show her JoJo first. But mm-hmm. start with part one.
Start with part one.
Do the respectable thing and show your grandparents part one.
Don't be like me who watches like part three, then goes back and watches part one and two, and then reads part five, skips six, goes to seven.
We didn't have a choice. Your girl was like watching part three, right?
She... Yeah.
She just like exposed
it. It's on. I mean, I wasn't going to not hang out.
How rude of her, dude.
You know, she said, she was like, you know what, Eric has told me I'm going to watch, just to watch JoJo. I'm just going to watch it. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
I watched it. No, I just got her into it. I watched the first season with her.
Yeah. And that's where she was. is like towards the end of part two, I think, is the last three episodes where he's fighting cars. And he jumps in like the volcano shoots up and this.
Yeah, and that's what
that blew my fucking mind. I'm like, this is how he beats him with a volcanic eruption. I knew the volcano would launch you into space, so that's what I did.
That was a lie.
What a great hook.
Yeah, I'm glad you got into it that way with part two, no less.
Part two is pretty goated.
All right, I think that's it now.
All right, sorry about that. You guys have a wonderful night, because that's what we said.
Okay, good night.
Good night. The